As we work our way through the Word this morning, be mindful of what God is speaking to you personally about when it comes to who am I going to take the gospel to? Because, you know, oftentimes I think as you're opening to Ephesians, and we're going to have it up on the screen. We're going to be starting right around verse 13 of chapter 2. Verse 13 of chapter 2. Right as we begin to get into the Word, it strikes me at how oftentimes we read it so that it will give us comfort, so that it will give us a sense of peace. When we read about peace with God, when we read about all of these things that God has provided, we oftentimes immediately will think about them in terms of ourselves. In fact, if you look down at the text, I'll read it to you. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in the flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who are near. For through them we have both have access in one Spirit to the Father. Jesus Christ himself, number one, letter A, provides peace with God through the means of the blood sacrifice of the cross. The sacrifice of Christ also provides peace between people. In other words, it's not just vertical, it's also horizontal. It's the removal of hostilities based on some sort of ethnic or national background. It made things much, much more peaceful, not just between God and man, but also between man and man. God's plans for all mankind from Genesis, where God said that through the Jews he was going to bless the entire world, came together in the sacrifice of God in Christ. Through the cross, it says, Jesus Christ makes one body, a new creation, something that is completely different than the old. It is something that is brand new. The old is gone. The new has come. And oftentimes, when we take a casual reading of these verses, letter C, they bring a certain kind of satisfaction because they speak of our own salvation, don't they? They speak of what God has done in our lives, and it's like a warm blanket on a cold night or in a cold sanctuary. It gives you that warm, cozy feeling, and you begin to get a little drifty, and you begin to get a little tired and that kind of thing. That's oftentimes how we read the Scriptures. They are meant, as we're reading them, they're meant for us, and they warm us, and they kind of put us into a place of great, I don't know, happiness and satisfaction. The reconciliation of our own hostile souls by faith in Christ Jesus has been caused by God's grace, and this is great news. This is the good news of the gospel. But a more careful reading of these verses, of what Paul is writing, of what he is intending in these verses, taking care to consider kind of the flow of thought, leads us to a purpose statement as we come down to verse 17. A purpose statement of preaching peace to those that are far off and those that are near. Note that Jesus Christ has done this, but that's not where it stops, because the peace is meant to exist between men and men. And Jesus has gone and has left that responsibility to us. Letter E, the proclamation of good news, which is peace to those far away from God and peace to those who are near to God, is not simply a report of God's grace activity among men in the past. It's also a Spirit-driven activity. And note how the Trinity is involved in the whole thing, just like in chapter 1. It is a Trinitarian action among mankind in the present. This reconciling activity, or the reconciliatory activity of God, is still right now, right here, in this moment, right now, in the making. Right as you sit there, God is desiring to reconcile men to himself, and he's desiring to reconcile it through his people. Take a look at the next page. One of the places in Scripture that illustrates this the most vividly is when Paul is talking to the Corinthians about this same subject. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You'll find it once again up on the screen. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. You're probably familiar with that. Again, what happens when you hear that verse? It's a warm blanket, isn't it? It makes us very, very happy. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Let's keep going. All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him who knew no sin, so that in him, gosh, you'd think I could read the best verse in the whole thing, right? For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What an unbelievable passage. What a window into what God is doing. That what God is doing with you is meant also to happen with others. That there is a correspondence that exists in our relationship with God. That what God does with us, he specifically, purposely, intentionally does so that you can then carry that and do that with others. If there is something that God has done with you that you have not expressed to other people, quit hoarding it. Quit sitting on the couch and eating from the bucket of the Bible, Christian, and just getting fat. You are not a couch potato. You are an ambassador. You are a reconciler. You have been saved not just for your own good, but for the good of others, so that you might give it away. The message of peace, number two, letter A, with God through Christ is the great message of anyone in Christ, all those who have been made into a new creation. This is a great, great, historically, the idea that the Jews had hostility towards God because they could not fulfill the law, that Jesus Christ through his blood has brought peace with God is such a relief. It is such an exhale of finally. Finally, the Messiah has come. Simply put, the message of reconciliation is not just, though, for those that are reconciled. It's not just for you to feel good about your own salvation. Nothing wrong with feeling good about your salvation. But we feel good about it so that we can then give it away. The message of reconciliation is for those who are living in current hostility towards God. Think about that. You're going to need to go make friends, or you're going to need to speak with friends that are currently in a state of disbelief, hostility, not interested, distance, far, far away from God. Those are the people that God has called you into relationship with. But why? Why? It's not really my personality. It's not what I want to do. I want you to remember what Jesus Christ has done for you. Jesus Christ, coming from the perfection and the wonder of the relationship of God, Christ, and Holy Spirit, moves into our hostile world where everybody is hostile towards him so that we might have a relationship with God. The hostility is so bad, we kill the Son of God. And yet, he maintains his love towards us that even while we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. This message is for those who are right now living in hostility to God, those who have not yet yielded their lives to Jesus. This is the service. This is the ministry. That word is the same. It's a similar word. The ministry of Christ to us, the ministry of us to others, the service that we render to other people. This is the service of every single person who is already reconciled, every follower of Christ. There's no separation between who I am as a Christian and my life and my purpose in Christ. Everybody has this same stamp upon them. Some are gifted for evangelism, but all are evangelists. All are to be reconcilers. All are to take what God has given to them and give it away to other people. And the question is simple. Have you placed yourself, have you placed your life in such a position that you even have the opportunity to do this? Do you know people that would benefit from the message of reconciliation? The question is simple. Are you in the position that if the Holy Spirit said, hey, that's a person that you should get to know so that you could share the message, this great message of reconciliation that I've done in your life with another person. Are you in a position to share that with somebody else? God's people, letter D, both past and present, are commissioned with blessing the world through reconciliation. We carry the great message that there is peace with God that is available. This culminates in Christ. It is reproduced in all Christ followers and by all Christ followers, resulting in unity and an expansive reflection of the glory of God. Why do I say that? Why is that important? It's important because we do not exist so that we can be evangelists. We do not exist so that we can sin less or that we can be better Christians. Those are derivative things that happen to us because of our relationship with Christ. In reality, what is it that we are trying to do? We are trying to expand the glory of God. That means God's goodness, God's righteousness, who God is, reflecting as though we are mirrors, reflecting towards other people. We shine the glory of God to the people that are around us. Who are the only people that can shine the glory of God? His followers. When God has more followers, what happens? His glory shines brighter. It is the thing. It is the task. It is the call that he has invited us into, is to expand his glory. He details it vividly in Romans chapter 15. I'm going to start in verse 4. I could read the first three verses because I think they detail the context a little bit better. But suffice it to say, I'm just going to start in verse 4 because it's familiar to us. For whatever was written in former days or the past was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Now, let me pause there because it's a verse that many of us have memorized. Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, to instruct us, so that through endurance and through the learning and the standing on of those things, the encouragement of those things, we might have hope. That everything that was in the law and the prophets from the Old Testament, all of that writing is not to be discarded. We stand on the shoulders of those things. But understand that everything that was written in the past was fulfilled by Jesus Christ. By virtue of a relationship with Jesus, we stand on the strength of everything that was written in the past. The scriptures come to life in Jesus Christ, and we experience the fullness of all that was written because of Jesus. He is our endurance. He is our encouragement. The book of Romans is clear. It's not because of you that you endure. It's not because of you that you have encouragement. It's who? It's Jesus. It's because of our relationship with him. Verse 5, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for what? The glory of God. See, the passage starts with, bear with one another who are weak. Share this message with all that are around. Chapter 15 is right towards the end of the book, and he's commissioning, he's sending out, he's telling them, hey, unleash yourselves onto these things. The message of peace with God through Christ is great because it brings people into unity with one another, and it brings them most of all into unity with God. It reflects God's glory because it produces something that the world does not naturally produce. The world naturally produces countries that are in hostility towards each other. The world naturally produces cultures that are in opposition or on different sides to one another. The world naturally produces hostilities that are constantly trying to outdo one another. God, through Jesus, brings reconciliation. He brings unity. He brings a reflection of His goodness and His peace and His glory to the world around us so that the world might experience something that the world cannot offer. True peace, true unity that God has planned from ancient of days to right now. Simply put, this message is not for those that are reconciled. It is not for you and I. It is truly for everyone. Letter E, the ministry of reconciliation is not a focus on trespasses. It's not a focus on sin. I so often struggle with this because the world has been trained to attack on this singular point. Oh, you're a Christian. Well, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? Well, what about this? It's very issue-driven. It's very issue-based. We are calling people into a family. We are calling people into a relationship. We are not trying to pick off issues. We are not trying to drill down and say, that thing about you, I don't like it very much, and you need to come to Jesus so that'll change. That's a rather hostile manner to approach people with. It is not about trespasses. Did you see that in 2 Corinthians 5? He does not count our trespasses against us. Did Jesus Christ come to you and say, hey, this thing or that thing about you, we need to get that changed. We need to get that changed right now. Could you clean that up? Jesus Christ says, no, I take control, full control of your whole life. And those things are secondary. Those things are background noise. What God wants is the heart of the person. He wants to reconcile them, not focusing on their trespasses or their sins, but rather on the cross of Jesus. It's not a looking at a person. It's a looking at Jesus Christ. It's a looking at God. It's a focus on where the focus ought to be. When we carry the message of reconciliation, we carry the cross of Jesus to people. We keep the focus where it ought to be, and that's on Jesus Christ, not on you, not on me. In fact, we're trying to not distract, aren't we? I mean, my greatest prayer is in the folks that I share Christ with, whether it be at Starbucks or somewhere else, is that I would not distract them from the gospel with the stupid things that I can do. Rather, I keep the focus on the cross of Christ. It is the power of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I came to you, brothers, and did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. I decided to know nothing amongst you except Christ and Him crucified. There it is. I decided to know nothing except for Jesus and Him crucified. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. I was with you in weakness. I was with you in fear and much trembling. My speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You will not argue someone into the kingdom of God. You cannot do it. You must rely on the Spirit of God. We must be men and women that carry the message of God is wanting to be at peace with you. And we do not rely on some sort of argument or apologetic to accomplish this thing. We absolutely, singularly rely on the Holy Spirit. It's the cross of Christ or it's nothing. This is the ministry of reconciliation. And the message is simply this: Jesus Christ provides peace with God, and He does so through the cross of Christ. There is much to that line. There's much depth, there's much breadth, there's much width. The heights of it are hard for me to be able to begin to see. But that simple line is a message that I believe every follower of Jesus has experienced. Therefore, every follower of Jesus is well equipped to carry it to someone else because you yourself have experienced it. You can learn fancier words, but at the end of the day, God has changed your life. He has brought peace between you and God by the cross. Do not wait for someone who has all the answers, someone who has all the complexity, someone who has it all figured out. You will never find that person. I'm still waiting for that person to show up. There are theologians that are over there at Talbot and Masters and Azusa. They're all waiting for the perfect person to show up so that they would know enough, so that they could share enough, so they could convince enough. It's not going to happen. You are enough, Jesus Christ says. I glorify myself through you. You are the ones that I have chosen for this ministry. Do you hear that? Do you get that? You are chosen. Number three, letter A. You are chosen. God chooses you. You are his. Let me roll off this with a little bit of fun right now. You are his ambassador of reconciliation, the emissary of gospel goodness, his envoy of peace, his chosen representative of the cross. Turn to the person next to you and look at them. They are chosen by God. They're his emissary. They're his envoy, his ambassador. God is calling others to himself through you, his voice through your life. You are the Jesus that most people will get to know in this world. Do you ever wonder? I hear this all the time. I heard it especially from teenagers. Chris, I'm like the only Christian I know at my high school. And I'd be like, what an honor. That is awesome. God chose you to be the only Jesus that they would know. And they look at you with those eyes of like, oh, you're not getting it. I need some support here. I need troops. I need, you know, give me a fleece. I'll tell God what I... Oh. Gideon. Oh, you should read that story. It's good. You are the Jesus most people will get to know. Don't come and say, but I'm the only Christian I know. Congratulations. God has great confidence in you. You have been chosen as the Rambo of your situation to be able to accomplish things that God has chosen for you in advance. Ephesians earlier in chapter 2 says, in advance for you to do, simply by walking with him. You have been chosen. You are his designated representative. You carry the responsibility of an ambassador. An ambassador. Sometimes we look at ambassadorship and we think, oh, that is such a cushy job. What, you're ambassador to Bali? You know, that kind of thing. Like, oh, a United States ambassador to some cushy country that's got nothing going. Think, though, about being the ambassador to, like, Yemen. Or being the ambassador to somewhere in the Middle East. Think about the day. I mean, you've heard, right? When a country decides that they're going to rebel against the United States help in their country. I want to phrase this correctly so that I don't tick off everybody in the room. But you know, when a country decides they're going to fight against the United States, what's the first thing they do? They go to wherever the embassy is and they start shooting rockets through the windows. And we've all heard stories about our ambassadors and their families and all of their personnel being evacuated out of countries. We've heard about our ambassadors being attacked and killed in countries that they could not be evacuated out quickly enough. And if you don't relate to it on that level, think about the number of Christians that we've heard about over the years. The vivid stories of our missionaries in the Christian and Missionary Alliance, where we are committed to reaching the whole world with this great news about the reconciliation that God offers. We've got missionaries all over the world in dangerous places. Think about the stories of missionaries escaping Vietnam before the fall of Saigon. Think about the stories of missionaries that go down into dangerous places to make friends with tribal people that don't even have a written language. There is no ability other than like sign language and figuring it out as you go to be able to speak to people. They have been in tremendously dangerous situations and some have made it out and others have died. Being an ambassador is serious business. Because when things go bad, you know who's on the front line suddenly? You and me. And what does God tell us? God says through Jesus Christ that if you have a relationship with Him, you are going to experience the same kinds of hostilities with other people that Jesus experienced. Now, I know most of us love to read the passages in Scripture where Jesus has really, you know, He kind of beats up on the Pharisees and He says nice things to the rest of the people. But think about how much hostility Jesus Christ had with the people that were around Him. Welcome. Welcome to your ambassadorship. You represent that sovereign King, Jesus. It will not be easy. But you are His designated representative. You carry the responsibility of an ambassador. An ambassador represents the leader of their country. Or in this case, the leader of our kingdom. Communicating the values, the message of the citizenry to those in foreign lands. By definition, letter C, ambassadors live in foreign territory, sometimes hostile territory, with a lot of unfamiliar settings. Do you think an ambassador calls back to the State Department and says, you know what, I don't really know where to go to the store. I'm not very comfortable here. These people speak a different language than me. They don't like me. When I told them what I do, they're mad at me. Can I come home? Can I just sit with other people that already agree with me? And that seems so much easier. I'll learn more. I think I need to know more before I get out there and do that. People, if our ambassadors did that, it'd be ridiculous. Of course, they wouldn't be chosen for being ambassadors. But see, that's the funny thing. God's already chosen you. He's already equipped you. He's already given you what you need. You may not feel like it, but I would encourage you to get out there and go for it. Go out there and carry the message of peace with God to people. Carry the message of reconciliation. Be the ambassador that God has chosen you to be. Sometimes you will find yourself in hostile territory, unfamiliar settings, but the responsibility of an ambassador is to clearly translate the message of their sovereign leader in a manner which is understandable and acceptable as possible. We all know the cross is offensive to people. We already know that the idea that we need to be forgiven of sin is a hostile message. But we carry that message with love and with peace and with mercy and with graciousness. Not a message of trespasses, but a message of love despite sin in our lives. That God is merciful and that He cares and that He loves and that He wants to transform us into something that we cannot begin to imagine. And most of all, He wants to provide peace. Scooch away from all that. He wants to provide peace between a person and God. That's what the cross of Christ does. That's what Jesus Christ accomplishes. Ambassadorship is overwhelming. It reveals weaknesses, but results in exposing the surpassing power of God. Does it call out the very things that you and I are weak about? Does it call out the very things that you and I sometimes would say, oh, I'm just not very good at that. I can't turn a phrase. I don't use my words the same way that other people do. Yes, it's going to reveal our weaknesses. But you and I, we have been called in the context that we find ourselves in to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ, to fill the seats that are around us with others that get to enjoy what it means to be walking in a family of Christ that is dedicated to seeing the whole world reconciled to Him. I would ask, are you on board with this? Because I've got that cheerleader, football coach kind of mentality to me. My prayer is that you would think in terms of your own life and your own context, and that you would position yourself in a place where God can use you for the purpose you were designed. You were not saved without purpose. You were saved to be an ambassador, to be a reconciler, to be one who carries the message of God, the cross of Christ, to the world around you. Position yourself in such a manner. Ooh, right on time there. Thanks. God, thank you. I thank you for all that you give to us. I thank you for what you give to us in your word and what you give to us, Father, as your followers. We come to you at this time, God, and we want to respond. We want to respond in singing, God. We want to stand and praise you for all that you have done in reconciling us to yourself. God, we want to respond in offering. We want to bring our offering to you, God, and we want to lay it before your feet, and we ask that you would multiply it, God. You have given us a vision as a church to reach out to a community and to do so in a manner that loves on children, that loves on families, that loves on people. God, I pray that we would be that community as we give in our offering this morning. God, you have called on us. You've engaged us in this church, that we would be men and women that would come to the Word of God, not with our if, ands, and buts, but that, God, we would come with open hearts, open to the transformation that comes by your Word. Fill us, God, this morning with your Spirit, that we would walk from here seeking to be your ambassador, your reconciler, living in and by the cross of Jesus in our lives. Transform and change us, God. We pray in the name above all names, the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.